Now, live from Studio 550, this is The McGraw Show on KTRS.
836, David Stokes, our good friend from the Show Me Institute, every Monday pops in, talk about the issues of the day. Good morning, David Stokes.
Good morning, McGraw.
Last week, you were minding your own business, and you blew open this Forest Park Parkway speed limit issue. You noticed that they lowered the speed limit on Forest Park Parkway, and you wanted to get some answers.
I did want to get some answers, so I called the Board of Aldermen to get a copy of the bill that was passed, presuming that was passed, to lower it. And it turns out that I guess they don't generally pass bills to lower speed limits in the city like they do in most places. They just sort of let it be done under the control of the street department. So then I contacted the street department to get a copy of the speed and traffic counts that they did, I presumed, along with this, thinking that they'd at least sent something to the Board of Aldermen as evidence, and they didn't have anything prepared. So they said that they had done some work, and they're gathering the facts for me and going to send it to me. I haven't gotten it from them yet.
But you're still calling them waiting for this information.
I'm going to this week. Yeah. It's been over a full week now, so I'm going to call them today.
You've given them plenty of time to gather the information that they gathered as the reason to lower the speed limit in the first place.
We presume, and they said that they did, and I trust them, that they put some information together. I thought it would have been, when I called them to ask for it, I thought that it would be take them 10 seconds to
right.
type out an email, hit attach file, and send it to me. Apparently it's a little more complicated than that.
All right, so you're gonna stay on top of this.
Absolutely.
Because the Forest Park Parkway speed limit went from what to what?
Went from 35 to 30, ostensibly under the guise of safety. But, you know, I've been reading some studies here as part of this, and the problem with this is, you know, it's also about moving traffic. And you set speed limits on roads like that at what's called the 85th percentile level, meaning that you just have somebody out there tracking what the 85th percentile of normal driver is going, and then you maybe set it a little lower than that.
Okay.
So it's not a magical formula here. So by lowering it from 35 to 30, you're not actually going to decrease speeds at all. The one study shows that if you decrease speeds by 5 miles an hour, if it's artificially low as this is, you're going to lower the actual normal traffic by about 1 mile an hour. So you're not really improving safety when you do this.
Right. And I think on top of this, the Show Me Institute and you should really get on the whole synchronized lights and why this community refuses to synchronize their lights, which would save all sorts of time, money, aggravation, gas prices, and everything else.
Absolutely. And yeah. It's been strange for a long time. I think some of the new construction, some of the I-40 construction and the like, and the changes that came along with that resulted right. in some better synchronicity.
Yeah, but the city lights are just atrocious. I mean, it can take you 15 minutes to go from Highway 40 on King's Highway to, like, Straub's down there. I mean, King's Highway is just ridiculous.
Well, you hit it on the head there, McGraw. Our offices are right there, and we get stuck in that sometimes, and it is crazy.
All right. Also, you testified before a House committee this past week. What was going on there?
It was the Interim House Committee on Local Government Affairs, chaired by State Representative Sue Allen, and they're having some hearings around the state about various local government issues. And one of the main ones that they're talking about is the St. Louis County sales tax pool, which is the system by which sales tax dollars are distributed within St. Louis County. Certain cities, mostly cities with malls and lots of shopping, are called point-of-sale cities. They keep the bulk of their sales taxes and put a little into the pool. And most of the rest of the cities in the county just pool everything and then get sales taxes based on a population formula. It's a good system, and we need to keep it.
Now, you've mentioned this before, and this is if you choose not to dole out TIFs, explain how this is a different idea than TIFs and how some communities go on their own and are out of this pool and some sort of opt into this pool.
Well, absolutely. This is the antidote to TIF abuse, the sales tax pool, and even expanding it to including all the cities within St. Louis County. TIF is used with much greater frequency in these point-of-sale cities that keep the bulk of their sales, the bulk of the sales taxes that they collect. Cities that are in the pool, they benefit from redevelopment and economic growth wherever it occurs within the county. If you build a new project outside of their city, but it's within the pool, well, good. Based on the population formula, they'll benefit from that. So it leads to far greater use of subsidies and far less use of subsidies and far less use of incentives to try and lure a business from city A to city B. If you're in the pool, it doesn't matter where it is. But if you're a point of sale city, you're more than willing to give up the store, give up the property taxes to lure that business into your city. That's why we have all this. These incentives back and forth in the county.
Are towns making, I guess it sort of depends on the town, but let's say Ellisville, they looked at this and they thought they could make more money with their individual TIF as opposed to joining the pool?
Absolutely. Ellisville, perfect example, is a point of sale city, also known as an A city. And they ran the numbers pretty, not hard for them. They're going to use incentives, use a TIF to bring a Walmart there.
Right.
And they're going to give up future property tax revenues for the city of Ellisville. But the sales tax money that they now get will dwarf the property tax money they're giving up. So they're fine. They're going to come out ahead right away.
Right.
But it's the schools and the fire districts and the library districts and the other taxing entities that exist only on property taxes that get harmed by this.
Interesting debate. And you were there testifying in favor of keeping this pool system set up.
Well, right. There's certain cities, Chesterfield especially, is a pool city, and they're trying to have the law amended allowing them to get out of the pool and become a point-of-sale city. You're not allowed to do that. Point-of-sale cities can become pool cities, but it doesn't work the opposite way in the current law, and it shouldn't work the opposite way. So
once a town's in, they can't get out?
Right.
So it's kind of like the mafia.
Yeah, it's like a positive mafia. It's like the mafia with benefits.
All right, fair enough. And since we're each week you're here, we're looking at different ballot initiatives. Let's talk about the St. Louis police control. What's the argument, or what are the options there going forward?
Well, it's a statewide vote, and that's a interesting enough story in its own that the whole state is voting on this. But
right.
As many people know, the St. Louis Police Department, like the Kansas City Police Department, is under control of the governor.
Now, what does that mean exactly?
It means that the governor appoints four of the five members of the police board.
Okay.
And the mayor, who serves on the police board, is just one-fifth, I guess. So the vote is, should the city of St. Louis get to control its local police department? Like, fair enough, every other city in America except
right.
for Kansas City. So, perfectly reasonable argument there. The city pays for the police department. The city manages day-to-day operations, I guess, but the state appoints the leadership, and they answer to the governor, not to the mayor. So, this is it's a very fair question as to why that hasn't happened. Now, the opposition to it is based in part on concerns over the police officer's pension, but I think the city needs to make changes to that pension, particularly for new officers, like public pensions in general. They've for too many public employees, I think they've been too generous, and the taxpayers of America can't afford this.
So the state's going to vote. If the state votes to give local control to Kansas City and St. Louis, what happens? Does then the city have to vote on it, or is it just automatically going to happen?
I think it automatically happens, and it's just happening in St. Louis. So Kansas City's not being voted on right now.
Oh.
Again, interestingly enough, why that's not happening. But the main argument against it that some of the police officers are supposed to bring up is the city's sort of unique political setup, where the Board of Aldermen, there's so many of them, and they have so much power within their individual wards, there's concern that there'll be undue political influence towards police work within the city if this passes. I think there's very good arguments on both sides. I'm trying to be as neutral as I can on this, but there's certainly strong arguments that the city should be able to control its own police department.
Yeah, the argument is that all of these scandals over the last number of years with the police department, the one argument is, well, how much worse can it do if it's run by the mayor's office or whatever?
Right.
As opposed to if the city gets control, does the city still have a police board? And does the mayor then appoint those? Are those elected officials? How does that work?
I believe it's what you just said. It's that the police board would just continue to operate the police department. You don't want elected officials involved in the day-to-day operations of a police department. You want an independent board providing oversight and then allowing the police chief and the other captains and officers to manage the day-to-day police work. Now, there's certain elements of government where elected officials should be involved in close decisions, and there's some that they shouldn't. And police work is one I don't think they should. So I think that it's just a police board appointed by the mayor. That's really the only change here.
Right. Has Governor Nixon chimed in on this? Do we know his thoughts?
I do not know his thoughts. I would imagine he's opposed to it since he gets to appoint four of the five current members.
But you don't know.
I do not know for sure.
I'd love to ask him if he ever returned any of our phone calls, but he doesn't need us, so he doesn't really return my phone calls, so I don't know. I'd like to ask him as well as a couple other questions, but
I think that would be a good conversation.
That's for another time. That's a ballot initiative voted on by everybody in the state because they have to change the Constitution. Is that right?
I believe so.
Yeah,
it's a statewide law that controls the city police department. I'm not sure that it's a constitutional or a statutory law, but it is voted on by the entire state. And it's very peculiar that it's only dealing with St. Louis. I predict that if it passes for St. Louis, in the near future, Kansas City will go for local control and probably get it.
Mayor Slay is in favor of local control, clearly.
Very strongly in favor of it.
And since the city pays for it, you'd think if they pay for it, the least they should be able to do is appoint the people who run the police.
That's a very strong and legitimate argument that the city has there.
David Stokes, we have just enough time to mention that I heard that there is scalping of some playoff tickets going on around Busch Stadium. What's going on there?
Well, I love playoff season, not only because I'm a huge Cardinal fan like everybody else in St. Louis, but I love the when parking prices explode and then you get angry letters to the editor or call into sports radio. And I love the conundrum over ticket scalping, although thankfully that's now legal for sporting events. It's a good example of how people react to economic changes.
It is interesting, considering they were selling hot chocolate Friday night at Busch Stadium, in a souvenir cup, mind you, for $10.
Well, I tried to park. I went to the rainout game last week, and I was trying to find a parking place downtown. And I'm seeing that $30 was the going rate for parking near the near Busch Stadium. And I'm not saying I like it, and I'm certainly not saying I paid it. But I was sort of giggling, like, here's supply and demand. Sell out more. More people coming, more people want to be near, get there early, they pay for the good parking.
There's a parking lot behind my condo on Washington Avenue, which is right next to the City Museum. And they have, I've seen prices for that parking lot, $5, $20, $3, $1, depending on how full it is and what's going on at the City Museum, that's the price it is to pay to park in this lot.
Right, and that's the way it should be. That's if the, your ratings as they continue to go up, your ad rates will continue to go up.
I know.
It's basic supply and demand.
I hear you. It's the purest form of capitalism, unregulated ticket scalping and price hikes and beer at a ball game. David Stokes, what's your website?
ShowMeInstitute.org. Our blog is ShowMeDaily.org. You can like us on Facebook or follow me on Twitter at David C. Stokes.
And you are going to get to the bottom of this Forest Park Parkway speed limit issue.
You want me on it? I'm going to stay on it for you, McGraw.
He's an attack dog, ladies and gentlemen, David Stokes. 850 KTRS.